Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to Spirit of Life for Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Yes, we'd like to welcome all those listening to us live as well as those listening to the archive version of this program. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical subjects, including spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal-related areas, and others. And then Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone courses in metaphysics, along with degrees at tfuniversity.org. As is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are 9 of them. The expanded versions are available on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. But here are the 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Number 1, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, to read the extended or expanded version of these, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, we're going to start off with a card. Do you have that one, Vicki, or is...
Actually, I asked Michael to pull a card, and if Michael doesn't mind joining us, he could read it, too. That would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Good evening, everyone. The card I pulled is one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny.
And that great is, card.
Yes, definitely. That's card number 35 in the Service to Self and Others suite. And would you like me to read the from
sure,
the book?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
I think that's a great, great way to start off tonight's program. You know, there's so many things going on in the world that we've all decided not to talk about.
Everything.
However, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny, you know, none of us is going anywhere without each other. And it's really important, I think, for us to check in with ourselves, know who we are, and reach out to the community, reach out to others, and in a good way, certainly in ways that don't cross boundaries, you know, and have respect and all that. But, you know, we are in this together. It's a great, great message for tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially with everything that's been going on lately, all the things we're not talking about, it's good to remember how we have more things in common than we have to separate us.
Well, one thing I'm going to talk about tonight is this thing, you know, probably you've seen it in the news about Target allowing, you know, transgender bathrooms. And there have been several instances where fundamentalist Christians are going into the stores with neon colored t-shirts with a message on it where it can say different things. And, you know, basically yelling out loud and telling people why they're all doomed and not to shop there and on and on and on. And I wanted to mention that for a moment, because if you haven't really thought about that, that might be something that, you agree with or not agree with in terms of allowing men and women into either bathroom if they're transgender. And I had to think about this too. I mean, if you place yourself in the bathroom and a member of the opposite sex comes in and, you know, and you're taking care of business, especially if you're a guy, you know, standing at the urinal, that can be a bit uncomfortable. I know this because I was in Germany once, and they have, you know, female bathroom attendants, usually elderly ladies, and they don't think a thing about it. You know, but because of my cultural conditioning, social conditioning, it was uncomfortable. And it happened several times while I was there. Now, with ladies' restrooms, there's the stalls and so forth. But the point that I'm trying to make here, the thing I want to bring out is before we poo-poo it, before we react to it, think about it and think about what it means. And be careful not to buy into the fear-mongering that you'll hear about things, that it's going to open up children to more pedophiles and molesters. That's just ridiculous. I mean, they can get to those kids, and any parent with a child like that would not let them go into the restroom alone, especially young children, or they would stand outside regardless. So I don't think anything's going to change there. But again, the point that I want to make is not, I'm not necessarily taking a side. What I do want to say is think about it. Think about it, because as we evolve as a species, you got to let people be who they are, whether we agree with it or not. It's not our life, not our path. They need to walk theirs. We need to evolve in our tolerance, in our acceptance. As long as there's no harm done, then we're good. So that's the real point that I wanted to make. And by evolving in our tolerance, we adhere to that one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. So I'll open it up to other comments, if any.
Well, Dr. Norm just made a comment in the chat saying discrimination is discrimination, no matter its name. And that's very true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And of course, Dr. Angie's saying a consenting adult not hurting anyone else has a right to do anything they want. Just my opinion. Well, we agree with those opinions, but, you know, we like to believe that we are a little bit more tolerant and understanding. And the thing is, I think a lot of people are very sheltered. And as you say, when you went to Germany, the culture is very different. It wasn't that long ago when everybody used the same outhouse. So yeah. You know, we have to remember these things. And every culture is very different. So I think that there's more tolerance in other places and with people who've had more exposure. That's just my thought.
You know, I remember my folks talking when I was a kid growing up. They had been missionaries in Japan, and they had told me that the bathrooms were, you know, co-gender. And I mean, that's what they told me growing up. And just the other day, I went to try to do some research on that to see if that was, in fact, the case. I couldn't find anything on it. And everything I read led me to believe that they, you know, had separate bathrooms for separate genders. But, you know, different cultures will accept different things. Go ahead, son.
Oh, I was just going to say that with all the people that are making a fuss over it, the vast majority of definitely millennials, but people overall, are, I think, supporting transgender rights. There's been a slew of artists and corporations and different things that have refused to do business in states that have passed laws, and really the public is on the side of, you know, transgender rights on this one, I feel.
I agree. And you know, something should be said too, because I'm kind of tired of being silent so often about it, is these fundamentalist Christians or fundamentalist anyone who go out and are basically like going into Target and yelling all their biblical stuff and whatnot. And then there's the likes of Westboro Baptist Church and the fundamentalists who are intolerant and don't get it. And, you know, it's nothing to be said. I mean, there's nobody I can reach through this medium, but it is something that our listeners can be aware of if they're not already. And I urge our listeners to not buy into that. In fact, I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to say it's about time that humanity outgrew religion, because religion holds us back. Religion of any kind holds us back. And I'm talking, well, not of any kind, of the fundamentalist varieties, the Muslims, the Christians, and anybody who would do harm holds humanity back. It's the reason we have so many problems on this planet, is because of religion. It's always been that way, and it will continue to be that way until we can outgrow it. And so, you know, if anyone listening still has one foot in religion, don't get angry at me, but think about it. That's all I ask. Just think about it. Because if you do your research, it's like into the Bible. If you do your research into the Bible, you're going to come away with some things. You're going to realize that there's not hardly an original thought in the Bible. It's all plagiarized from earlier works. There are different works that have the same essential stories that from different times prior. You're going to find that there's no secular evidence that Jesus ever existed. There may have been some guy named Jesus, but certainly not the Jesus we know from the New Testament. If you do your research, you're going to find out there's all kinds of things that are just not only wrong, but inhumane. I mean, the acts of the God of the Old Testament, you know, genocide, acts more like a spoiled, rotten, jealous child than any kind of an evolved being. And when you really get to think about it, any religion that requires you to worship someone is inherently wrong. Why? Because no evolved being is going to allow other sentient beings to worship them. It's not part of spiritual development. So all I'm trying to do here is plant a seed, get you to think, and hopefully you will. But we have to outgrow it. We have to move past it so that we can step up to the next level of existence.
You know, there's a comment in the chat room saying, you know, I have no problem with it, meaning bathrooms, though I understand it raises questions in a child's mind and some are too young to understand. And I'd like to challenge that for a moment. I hope you don't mind. Is that my kids have been exposed to, who my oldest reminded me she's close to 40. My kids have been exposed to all kinds of people from a very young age. And lots of artists, gays, lesbians. My kids didn't even raise an eyebrow. They knew who was gay. Nobody questioned it because it was just normal. So when you treat things in a way that's not a big deal, kids don't mind. So that's what I have to say about that.
And I'd like to comment on a comment, too, that I think is commonly felt. The comment is, yes, but many feel that religion is needed for purpose and salvation. Once people start seeing that the good, fulfilling life comes from within and personal responsibility, I think there would be no attachment to religion. I mean, that's a great point. A lot of people think that in order for us to be moral creatures, we have to have religion. But the reality of it is that religion does not give humans morality. Humans give humans morality. It's what we do, because religion's nothing more or less than an invention up from humanity. It was started with a thought in somebody's mind and evolved from there, you know. So we need to just realize that it comes from within. Go ahead, son.
Oh, I was going to say just that we really are moving away from needing a religious dogma or even being able to accept it. Like Tabitha said, that a lot of people feel that they need that purpose and salvation. But at the same time, given the awareness that has been spreading over the 20th and 21st centuries, education, people realize that the traditional dogma, while, you know, anything is possible, it's so improbable to as almost be virtually impossible that one of the traditional dogmas of any of the major religions can be true, because it just doesn't fit. So people realize that, and then they realize that these traditional sources of that salvation, so to speak, or, you know, peace within, it's not going to come from those old traditional sources because humanity has outgrown them. And the reason that people are being so loud now is because the fundamentalists, I mean, is because they see that the world is changing. It's changing away from them, and it frightens them. And they're being loudest now because over the coming century, it's going to come to an end of their dominance. And we need organizations like this church because humanity is moving away from those traditional sources. So we have the metaphysical humanism that is a great channel for a lot of people to explore their own humanity, spirituality, and the world.
Good
point.
Well
said, Michael. Well said. You know, I think we are, at least, at the very least, with the onset of the internet, which really, to the general public, has only still been 10, 12 years, which is like a blip of time. More people are becoming educated as to politics, the economy, religions, different ways of life, so that it still continues. I think the stress factors are temporary, because the more people feel that their old school is being threatened, of course their voices get louder for a minute, and then it becomes this power play. But again, you know, hopefully sensibility rules out, and we're evolving. That's what we're doing. It's just evolving people.
I want to mention another comment in the chat room, which is also a good one. We very much approach it as normal and explain it as such, but then my kids go to school and hear from other kids that these lifestyles are wrong, and I lose the ability to explain it because they are so little. You know, and that's true. That's the realities of life, and that's part of our job as parents, is to ease our children into the realities of life. And that is one of those realities that's probably not going to go away. And so we need to prepare them as best as possible and let them know that while it's okay to be you as long as you're doing no harm, not everybody's going to agree with that, and that is okay too. So we teach our children, you maintain this balanced viewpoint regardless of what your friends at school say, regardless of any teasing they may do, and just maintain your principles. I mean, this is no different in principle than when I was a child. And I remember I was in sixth grade, a new school, Denver, Colorado, Lakewood, Kendrick Parks Elementary to be exact. And I remember there was this heavyset girl that was part of our class. And there were some boys that would just tease her ruthlessly. They called her Walrus. I can't for the life of me. I think her name was Karen, but I can't remember whether it was. It was something like that. We'll call it Karen. But I refused to call her Walrus. And when they would pick on her like that, I would step up and say her name is Karen, not Walrus. And I told her, you know, that's not nice. Don't take it personally. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. And so it's the same thing that kids experience all the time in school in one way or another. So I just wanted to say, teach them, love them, help them to remain balanced and accepting and tolerant, and accept people for who they are, provided those people are not doing any harm. Just my thoughts.
Well, I say that once your kids start going to school, you're no longer really a parent. You're a debriefer. You know, because your kids come home and you have maybe an hour at best in the evening to debrief your kids over their day and all the things they've been exposed to and they're learning about. And the dinner table is the best place to do it, is, you know, just having casual conversation and casual, oh, well, that's interesting, you know, and, oh, the family said what to you? Oh, really? Well, I certainly don't agree with that, but it's interesting that they think that way. And it's especially when it comes to religion, because when my kids were very young, I took Christmas right out of any Christian holidays, just weren't a part of our life. We are pantheist, and we celebrated all the pantheist holidays. And, of course, other kids were doing Christmas and so on. But it, you know, it worked out well in my mind. I just said, well, that's not what I necessarily believe in. And this way, you kind of get two holidays, so never mind. So, you know, it's, oh. And there's ways to debrief that everyone is different, and you're entitled to your own. My oldest was in her 30s, and of course, now she has kids and exposed to a lot of religious people. And she said, you know, people talk about this book, but I've never even read the Bible. I don't even know what it looks like. And I said, well, that's really interesting, because I have a collection of them. I've read many of them. And it, see, they just didn't even bother. So really, when your kids feel safe and loved, and they know that people are different, but your life is generally good, and you debrief in a good way, then there is no angst. There is no issue. You know, they're thinking, and they're entitled to be who they are and whatever direction they want to go.
And Dr. Norm, excuse me, Dr. Norm makes a comment, doesn't all this conversation boil down to one word, respect? And it does. Respect people's rights to be them. Respect their inalienable human right to be who they are, whether you agree with that or not. And obviously, if they're doing no harm, then we let them be them. Any
absolutely.
Thoughts, Michael?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it comes down to the fact that we all have what I think of as natural rights. We're all sapient beings. And everybody that has that level of awareness has the right to live their life without having others impede it or block what you want to do. Exactly, to judge. And absolutely, respect is what it's about.
You know, judgment always comes with some kind of persecution. That's the problem with judgment.
And a price tag
for
the person who judges.
Well, one of the last places I lived at was a very Christian community. Of course, I'm the only witch in the neighborhood. And eggs on my windows, you know, ransacked. Things were destroyed. And that's their fear. But it sure made my life hell. You know? But and there's just sometimes, you know, you have to know when to move. And say, these people are not going to change, certainly not today, and I can't be a casualty of this. So we do have to pick our battles when we're trying to raise consciousness and grow respect in the community. You know, this is the dark side of it all, unfortunately.
All right, well, let's move on to a different subject, shall we? Let's pick a card, somebody. Yeah.
I picked number 42, trust and integrity.
Oh, good.
That kind of fits right along here. And I'll just read it from the little booklet. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, meaning remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself. It's a big one.
Yeah, so trust and integrity, you know, there's so many aspects of that. And that's it kind of goes along with what we were just saying, the integrity part. You know, if they have that internal integrity where you hold up, or stand up for what's right, that you don't judge yourself by what other people think of you. You have that integrity to do the right thing when it's required and when you see an opportunity to do the right thing, which includes paying it forward. That's integrity, you know, and we should be all about our personal integrity. Basically, we do the right thing when nobody's looking. That's integrity.
No, Dr. Norm asked if I said something else. I didn't. I said I was the only witch in the neighborhood. I thought I better clear that up right away as the chat is scrolling down.
Yeah.
No, witch as in pointed hat. Priests can wear pointed hats, but women in a Christian neighborhood cannot. So I learned not to wear my pointed hat. Not even at Halloween.
All right. So if you listeners want a card pulled, start putting your name in the chat room there. And as we do, Dr. Hunter, would you look up the card for Pay It Forward?
Yes, which one absolutely. Is
that? And yes, I'd like to read that one because I want to talk about that for a minute, and then we will read.
I have it right here.
Okay. Which number is
29.
It?
Number 29.
Okay.
It's in the Service to Self and Others suit as well. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others. Even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Okay, good point. So the reason I wanted to talk about paying it forward, we've talked about it a lot on this program, but it's one of the main tenets of this church. It's one of the things that we do. And I want to continue to bring attention and awareness to that concept. If you're a member of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism, paying it forward is one of our beliefs. It's one of our tenets. It's one of our sacred obligations. And we take it very seriously. And so I want to encourage everyone always to pay it forward in any way that you can. And it could be little things, big things, whatever way you're able. And when you see the opportunity. Now, I know that I'm preaching to the choir a lot when I mention this, especially to our members and students, because they're already doing this. What I'd like to encourage you to do is look for ways to step it up a notch. We need to be a bigger part of the solution, and paying it forward is a huge, huge way that we can do this. It's a great opportunity to show what we're about, to let us come out. Let us step up to the plate and do the right thing when we have an opportunity to do it. You know, and another reason I bring this up is because it's a big rallying point for the church, for the church members. You know, you think, okay, if you're a Christian, what do? Well, you go to church on Sunday or Wednesday or both, and you worship God, and you go and you witness to people in whatever way, and some religions are bigger on that than others, but that's what you do. So then I ask the question, okay, you're a metaphysical humanist, what do? Well, I'm not sure. And that's the point. The things that we do, a big one is paying it forward, is making a difference in the lives of the people that are within our sphere of influence. And we can do that in so many good ways. Paying it forward is a big one. And it's one of the biggest ones. It's a sacred obligation. Another way that we do good works, not to be associated with the same term from other religions, but the good works that we do are truly good works. And that is, we don't give unsolicited advice. We encourage others when we can. If they need the encouraging word, we try to reach out and do that. Because sometimes people just need encouragement. That's one of the biggest deficits we all have. We just need an encouraging word now and then. You know, a well-placed compliment, something, some uplifting, upbuilding word. And that's how we build people up. And that's how we build ourselves up. You know, it's the principles of belief that we have, the one planet concept, one race. We promote tolerance, and we promote equality, gender equality, ethnic equality, and we share that. And we share that not in the way that maybe the Christians or others do, but we share it in our attitude and in how we respond to things. We share it in our deliberate our positive consciousness, which is a deliberate type of thing. And so we live that, and we look for the good, and we refuse to be sacked by this world or by the things going on in this world. We refuse to let it get to us. We realize that we have every bit as much worth as anyone else, no more, no less. And we're entitled to all the same good things in life, no more, no less. We're entitled to prosperity. We're entitled to getting through life well. We're entitled to great relationships. And so we practice these principles that we're taught, not only in this program, but in our schools, in the principles of belief. And that's what it means to be a metaphysical humanist, to lead as an example, to be an example to others, to children, to people, with our grounded reasoning and our level-headedness and in our stability. So that's what I wanted to mention about that. And I'll open it up to comments.
Well, personally, Pay It Forward is one of my favorite philosophies of life. It touches on the fact that when we do good things, when we do something for someone without cause, without any kind of benefit to ourselves, it brings happiness. It's one of the kind of redeeming qualities of humanity, is that when we're telling someone else thank you for something they did for us, it's when we tell them how happy, you know, it made us, that makes us happy in the moment. Expressing gratitude, expressing how we feel, brings out those positive emotions in us, and connecting with other people. It just touches on the best of us.
Good points. Okay, well, let's consider some cards then. Let's see. I'm looking, Tabby would like one, so I'll start with her.
Tabby. Hello, Tabby. Good to see you here. It's really great to see so much conversation in the chat room, too. It's great, you guys. The Law of Control, Tabby. It's number 5. And here it is. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions, and you can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. So if that resonates with you to some degree, I think law of control is something that we're always having to remind. I do it on a daily basis. Like, I always say, what do I hope to achieve by this? A thought I have. What's my business? And, you know, I go through a little checklist of, you know, where I get involved and what belongs to me. And then to look at, okay, certain things belong to me. That doesn't belong to me. And then get about my business. And really, I think this is just a really good little reminder about the law of control. It's a good one.
All right. So let's go to Fran is next.
Hi, Fran. I have one here. Oh, this is interesting, Fran. It's blank. Absolutely blank. Mm. Now, there is such a card, by the way. It's in the wild card suit, number 9. This is interesting. Okay. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. Ooh, I always see that as a pivotal moment. You know, it's one of those, ooh, what thoughts do I have and what would I like to manifest? So that's really powerful. Mm-hmm. It's a great one.
It is a good one. Okay, let's go next to Carly.
Carly. Hello, Carly. I am going to the deck. Groundedness. That's number 37 in the life skills suit. It says, remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against the facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. So if that resonates with you in some way, Carly, groundedness, number 37.
I want to pick up on that just a little bit, too, because it talked about beliefs. And one of the things that we all go through in life is adversity. And adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. You put things back in their proper order, and the adversity goes away in due time. But the other aspect, and I know this from my personal experience, is you can get into adversity, you can get into problems, and you can think, I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know what to do about it. And sometimes, I mean, we'll do this for years sometimes, trying to figure it out, trying to resolve it what we can. And the solution lies in our beliefs, in our belief system. And here's just a huge, powerful, powerful concept. If you're having a problem solving your problems, if you can't do it, then sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. Just let that slowly simmer for a while. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside your belief system, meaning it's in a place that you hadn't even looked or considered because of your own belief system. Sometimes tough problems require tough solutions, and we have to go outside of our belief system and do things that we might not otherwise want to do or like to do. But when we do that, we grow, because we realize that a lot of times we have the blinders on, and this was true for me. And I had to remove those blinders, and I had to look outside of my belief system in order to resolve the biggest adversity of my life. So I wanted to put that out there. Next on the list is Ingeborg. Ingeborg?
Hello. All right, Ingeborg. I have, Spirit Cosmos Divine Energy, number 12, in the existential suit. I think that's one we haven't read for a little while.
Say the face value again.
Spirit Cosmos Divine Energy.
Okay. Thanks.
Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play. Could be a little quantum entanglement going on there, too. So that's a good one. Something to think about.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then the last one, Dr. Angie would like Michael to pull a card for her.
Ah, Michael, you're on.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
Magic fingers, Michael.
All right. Think for yourself. It's number 22 in the spirituality suite.
Good one.
All right. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
That's good. You know, if you got a comment, go ahead and then I'll comment.
Myself or Dr. Hunter?
You. You read it.
Well, I would say that Dr. Hunter's probably the expert when it comes to this, but I would say that...
You're doing great, Michael.
Well, I'm reading from words that were written by wiser folks than I, but if I had to comment on it, I would say that, like so many of these cards, it really cuts to one of the core things about us, and that there's so often around us people trying to sway us to their way of thinking. A lot of times for a very bad reason. It could be that they themselves don't have bad intent, but they have an unhealthy thought pattern, unhealthy behaviors. They've created unhealthy patterns of thought that they've just been carrying over, sometimes generationally, and they're all over the place, and you really have to be able to be confident in your own truth and be confident that what you're thinking, that you're conscience is right.
And you know, something in that text that we'd written really goes back to what we were talking about at the outset, when we were talking about letting people be themselves and accepting people. But we also talked about children, how we can train them to be balanced and accepting of people. Then they go to school and they get told otherwise. There's sometimes peer pressure, often peer pressure, that sort of thing. But here's a thought, here's a concept. And when we don't think for ourselves, we adopt somebody else's identity. This happens all the time in toxic relationships where there's a dependent or codependent and another person in it. We end up adopting somebody else's identity and their belief system when we don't stick up for our boundaries. And this is the same thing that happens to children. They go to school and they can often adopt somebody else's identity, somebody else's set of core values, somebody else's belief system. And so that's also something to keep in mind with our children. We teach them this, that you have a human responsibility to maintain your own identity, your own belief system, your own thoughts. And as you get older, you're going to be faced with different issues, moral issues, ethical issues, and so forth. And so you'll want to reason through those and then adopt your own identity, adopt your own core values, your own set of beliefs. Very good point. Okay, I think we have got everybody that said they wanted a card. If I missed anyone, please type it in right now, lest we move on. Okay, so we've had a good discussion tonight. We've talked about one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny, trust and integrity, paying it forward, the law of control, groundedness, spirit, cosmos, divine energy, and thinking for yourself. And there are tons of nuggets in these thoughts, tons of points that can lift us up, that can help us to be more successful in our lives and to find even a greater degree of happiness and fulfillment. So I urge you to ponder these meaningfully, meditate on them, listen to the archive if you want to hear them again, and you'll benefit from it, and so will those around you. So we appreciate all the comments in the program. Music time, bud. And if you didn't figure out, I'm behind the ball here. So anyway, we appreciate everybody's comments in the chat room tonight. We appreciate your participation. We appreciate you spending your time with us, because we know you could be doing other things. Let other people know about this. Don't be afraid to, as appropriate, to act on your beliefs and as members of metaphysical humanism, and just serve to do right, pay it forward, leave the woodpile a little higher than you found it. So thanks to all of you. Thanks to those listening to the archive. Thanks to Michael for joining with us tonight, and of course to Dr. Hunter. We appreciate it. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.